العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. You are following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the masjid. You start offering your salah. You start offering your salah in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present. After you offer your salah, you go up to him to greet him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns your greeting. He says, wa alaykum as-salam to you. And then he says, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray, for you have not prayed. And you're thinking, I just offered my salah. But because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you to go back and offer your salah again, because you have not prayed, even though seemingly you prayed, you go back and you offer your salah again. And then you return. And again you say assalamu alaikum to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he responds to you, and once again he says, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray, for you have not prayed. And then you go back and you do it again. And the same thing happens again. At that point, you give up. Three times you went and you did your salah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw you, and he told you that you did not offer your salah, go back and offer your salah. So after three times you give up, and you say, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا أُحْسِنُ غَيْرَهُ فَعَلِّمْنِي. By him who has sent you with the truth, meaning by Allah, I cannot offer the prayer in a better way than this, because that is how you have learned to offer your salah. That is how you are accustomed to offering your salah. And you have tried your best. Please teach me how to pray. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you stand for prayer, say takbir, say Allahu Akbar, and then recite from the Quran, of what you know of the Quran by heart, and then bow till you feel at ease. Then raise your head and stand up straight. Then prostrate, make sujood till you feel at ease during your prostration. Then sit with calmness till you feel at ease. Do not hurry, and do the same for all of your prayers. My brothers and sisters, this is what happened to a companion by the name of Khalad bin Rafi' radiallahu anhu. He was fortunate that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw his prayer and corrected him. But what about us? Khalad bin Rafi' radiallahu anhu was in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was from his companions. And he was offering salah to the best of his ability. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go back and offer your salah again, because you have not offered your prayer. You see, my brothers and sisters, before a long drive, before we go out on an important journey, what are we encouraged to do? We are encouraged to get a checkup, a tune-up for our vehicle, to make sure that all the maintenance is done and that it is in good working order. Why? So that we don't fall into trouble during the journey. So that our journey goes as planned in the best way possible, without any surprises. And now, with about 20 days left till the month of Ramadan, this is the time before that great journey for us to fine-tune our greatest tool to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is our salah. When I was young, I had a shortwave radio, and I would enjoy trying to catch, you know, different radio stations from around the world. And as I would scroll down the dial, you know, some of them would sound like little blips. When I would scroll through the band, right? You're scrolling through. Of course, it wasn't that long ago, but it was the old days, I guess. You turn the dial on the radio, right? And when you pass through, there's a radio station. Some of them would be so weak, you just hear a little blip. And then, you know, when I would carefully adjust the dial, you know, fine-tune it, then I would actually be able to catch the signal. But if there was a slight diversion, you know, either way, if I wasn't right on the dot at the, you know, the frequency of that broadcast, then the sound would become wavy, you know, would often become unintelligible. I wouldn't be able to make out what was being said. Similarly, my brothers and sisters, if we don't fine-tune our salah before Ramadan, our reception of Allah's mercy and the benefits of Ramadan could actually be limited by our lackluster salah and our weak ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a man may finish from his salah, may complete his prayer, and all that is written for him in terms of his reward is 1/10 of it, or 1/9, or 1/8, or 1/7, 1/6, 1/5, 1/4, 1/3, or 1/2. So a person offers their salah, he completes the prayer, he or she completes their prayer, but what is actually written down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is recorded for that salah, is a fraction, a portion of the actual salah. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, they had power in their salah. Their salah was powerful. They prayed and things happened. They offered salah in times of need and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded. They offered salah in, you know, critical situations, in life and death situations, and there was a response. They felt the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They experienced the relief coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, my brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in a state of chaos as an ummah. Nothing seems to be going our way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of those who are suffering and who are in trouble. But perhaps this is one of the reasons, or perhaps one of the main reasons. I think I mentioned this before. When I was a kid, I wouldn't get it. I would go to a gathering of elders, scholars, and they would talk about, you know, all the problems in the world and say, you have to fix your salah. Focus on your salah. I'll be honest, I didn't get it at that time. I'm like, what does it have to do? Like all this stuff that's happening to us, all this oppression and all these challenges and struggles. How are we going to solve this through salah? Like, you're just standing on a prayer mat, on a sajada, and you're offering your salah, which is important, of course, but like, what's the link? I wouldn't be able to understand. But our salah is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we truly believe that help comes from none other than Allah, and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is weak, right, then you can start making sense of that. The triumphs that came at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right, the way that the Muslims overcame struggles and challenges, was first and foremost a result of spirituality. The means were secondary. The physical means were secondary. We see that over and over and again in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's not to say that the physical is not important. That's not to say that, you know, we don't need those tools and those resources. We do. But the foundation of it was their strength of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had that strong connection, which was illustrated through their salah, or which was exemplified through their salah. And then when they made efforts, even if they were small, they got the nusra, they got the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmatullahi alayhi, he writes in his book, Asrar al-Salah, that devotion in salah, in prayer, is of three levels. Firstly, the devotion of the heart. This level, he writes, safeguards the heart and rectifies its affairs from the sickness of desires and the whispers of shaitan, as well as all the thoughts that may nullify his salah or lessen its reward. Okay, so the first level, he says, is the level of the devotion of the heart. The person's heart is in their salah, that will have these benefits for them, and this is going to be the state of their salah. Secondly, he says, the devotion of ihsan. So the first one is the devotion of the heart. The second one, devotion of ihsan. And this level is when, again, I'm quoting from the book, the translation of the book. This level is when the servant, or the slave of Allah, is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his salah to the degree that he becomes as if he worships him subhanahu wa ta'ala while seeing him. Okay? So the first one is devotion of the heart. Second is the devotion of ihsan. So of course the heart is already engaged, but in the second level, it is at the level of ihsan. As we know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam in the form of a man, of a human being. And he asked him, the famous hadith of Jibreel, he asked him a number of questions, and one of them was, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ. Inform me, tell me about ihsan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said famously, أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. It is that you should serve or worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you could see him, for though you cannot see him, yet know that he sees you. So having this feeling, this presence, and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and feeling the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that this is the second level. And the third one is the devotion of understanding. You know, so a person has his heart, has her heart in their salah, it's at the level of ihsan, and on top of that, they have understanding. This level, he writes, is reached when the slave of Allah reflects upon and comprehends the meanings of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he recites. And when he contemplates the details of the worship, meaning salah, in order to pay its due right in humility and tranquility. So these are the three levels of devotion of salah that he mentions. So first one, the heart. Second, devotion of ihsan. And the third one, the devotion of understanding. If the slave, he writes, successfully reaches these three levels, he will have truly established and performed his salah in the most perfect manner, and in return, he will receive the full attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a one-way street. It's not a one-way street. If a person is able to improve and perfect their salah, then in return, the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be likewise. So he will receive the full attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, who doesn't want the full attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in the month of Ramadan? Is there anyone who says, no, I don't want the full attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course not, right? Everybody wants it. So we may, you know, very well be offering salah with jama'ah in Ramadan, especially, mashallah, which is wonderful, long, you know, taraweeh and qiyam, mashallah, which is beautiful. But we may only be getting a portion of the potential reward. Right? And even that is good. It's not bad, right? It's better to have 1/10 or, you know, 1/5 or 1/4 or, you know, a half of the benefit than no benefit, of course, right? It's better than nothing. But shouldn't we be aiming higher? Shouldn't we be trying to move ahead and get more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, Surah Al-Mu'minun, the beginning, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. These verses, especially this first ayah, should make us happy. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. Right? So if you're going through challenges and struggles, and we all are, right, know that because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you iman, there is success written for you, inshaAllah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us some of the qualities of the mu'minun. And this is where we have to ask ourselves, where do we stand? Right? We ask ourselves. You don't have to ask anyone else. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are, during their prayer, humbly intent. Right? They have khushu' in their prayers. Now this khushu', connotes a restfulness of heart and humility arising out of the awareness of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of one's own insignificance in comparison to it. Having mindfulness, being in a state of mindfulness and being mindful of the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time being aware of one's own insignificance in comparison to the greatness and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we can describe khushu' perhaps in a long sense, and in a short sense, you can say sincere, submissive humility. What is khushu'? Sincere, submissive humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is, how do we attain khushu'? Right? This is the big question. Everyone understands the importance of having khushu' in our prayers. So firstly, let's look at something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah that He addressed the Bani Israel and He told them something. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Qur'an about something He told the Bani Israel, right, as a command, right? And it's not something, it's not an incident that happened in the past, but it's something that, you know, he has commanded the Bani Israel as a general rule, and it is in the Quran, then it is understood that in most cases it will apply to us as well. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it in the Quran for our benefit as a command to us as well, that this is something which was commanded to the previous nations as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that context, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ. It is big, it is heavy, it's a burden, except for the خَاشِعِينَ. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. It is a burden except for the خَاشِعِينَ, for those who are humble. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a quality of these people, or two qualities of these people. Those who are certain that they will meet their Lord, and to Him they will return. Okay, so there's a little hint here. The focusing on meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we focus on the Akhirah, if we focus on the time when we will actually stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, sort of like how we're standing in Salah, but of course in a very, very different situation, right? That is one of the keys of attaining this state of sincere, submissive humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, it's translated as the hereafter. You know, they're certain that they will meet their Lord. But it can actually, mulaqu rabbihim, can also be understood as meeting in each salah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not something that is necessarily in the future, because annahum ilayhi raji'un is already referring to returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So mulaqu rabbihim, the meeting, can be understood also as each time that they offer their salah, they believe that they are meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are thinking about the ultimate return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it may not be possible to get into a state of mindfulness as soon as you enter salah, especially if you're doing something beforehand that was devoid of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Let's say you were really busy in something, you were consuming something, you were watching something, listening to something, you were busy, you were talking, whatever it was, right? It did not contain the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it may be difficult to switch all of a sudden, right? If you just go from doing something and boom, you enter salah, Allahu Akbar, you start salah, right? Your mind needs some time, right, to adjust. You can't go from one thing to the other and not, you know, have what you were doing previously carry over, right? It's very difficult to do that. So secondly, my brothers and sisters, let us try to prime ourselves with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when it's cold outside, right? Nowadays they say you don't have to warm up your engine too much, right? But still, right? If it's really cold, it's minus 30, it's minus 40 outside, right? And you get into a car and you crank the engine, you start it, and then you start driving. You know, I've done that a few times, rushing for salah. But, you know, it's really cold, the car doesn't respond. Right? It takes time. Right? The fluids, like everything's all cold. You know, it takes a few seconds at least. It takes some time for it to warm up. Right? So we're going to try to warm ourselves up warm up our spiritual engine and try to pack away our other thoughts and preoccupations. One thing I want to mention very quickly, you notice the adhan and the iqama. They consist of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It could have just been hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah a few times. It would have served the purpose. No? It would have served the purpose. Come for salah, come for salah, come to our success. Huh? It would have served the purpose. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounded that call with takbir and tahleel. He surrounded it with the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? With the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this wakes up our souls. We also come to the masjid. What are we supposed to encourage to do? To offer tahiyya to the masjid. Right? It's a dry run. Before you offer the first prayer, you have a warm-up. Right. Very quickly, number three, understanding of what is being recited. And, you know, people who don't understand Arabic, they say, well, yeah, that's really hard. But even those who understand, it's one thing to understand, but it's another thing to pay attention to what is being recited and what is being said. Okay. So knowing that when we are reciting something from the Qur'an, when we are hearing the recitation of the Qur'an, when we are reciting the adhkar, it is something which is powerful and meaningful. For example, when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to you. For the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi, you know, my servant has praised me, when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and so on. Ask yourself, that do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Salah? Because Allah said in Surah Taha, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, in his conversation with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, establish Salah for my remembrance. So is there any remembrance of Allah in our salah? And how much is there? Because, and this is the scary part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the characteristics of the munafiqun. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا. When they stand for salah, it's not that they don't stand for salah, the munafiqun. They did stand for salah. But they stood for salah half-heartedly, lazily. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ. Only to be seen by people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And hardly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. So this is an opportunity, my brothers and sisters, for us to examine the state of our salah. How much we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How distracted are we in our salah, or if we are not, alhamdulillah. And to try to offer our salah calmly in this state of mind. Because what it's telling us, all of this is telling us, that salah is actually a mindset. It signals the state of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's not happening, then perhaps there is a dhikr deficit. Perhaps there is a dhikr deficit. So we have an opportunity, my brothers and sisters, here now with 20 days left to try to strengthen our salah before we enter the month of Ramadan so that we can attain the full spiritual benefits of salah, especially in the blessed month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true khushu' in our prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us, our children, our future progeny, from amongst the khashi'een, especially in salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our shortcomings in our prayers, and really make us those who truly benefit fully from their salah, and who can strengthen their relationship with Him. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. If I can please ask the brothers to move forward and please fill in all the gaps. جزاكم الله خيرا. We'll take a few moments, inshallah, we'll continue.